Live from the Valley View Casino and Hotel Studio, this is the Brett Winterbull Show.
It is the Brett Winterbull Show, AM 760 Talk and Breaking News. So let's consider a couple of things as we look at the world we're in today. Today, as we know, is Indigenous Peoples Day in some places, as they've replaced Columbus Day, Christopher Columbus Day, with instead Indigenous Peoples Day. I, earlier in the program, posited the possibility that we ought to have an Indigenous Peoples Month. And I nominated either July or August to be Indigenous Peoples Month, because I don't think it ought to just be one little day, and I don't think it ought to be just Christopher Columbus's day. Christopher Columbus, public enemy number one today among those who are advocating for Indigenous Peoples Day. But it's not just Christopher Columbus in 1492, who sailed the ocean blue, an Italian, at the behest of the king and queen of Spain. It's not just Christopher Columbus. There was another big anniversary that happened on Saturday, one that was not covered, not remarked upon, not looked at, not mentioned. I checked everywhere. And that was one of the most historic naval battles of all time, the Battle of Lepanto. This was a significant battle because it involved papal states and the Spanish and the Austrians, and they were taking on the Ottoman Empire at sea. It was a decisive battle. It took place on October 7th, 1571. Many people ascribe miracles to this, to the victory. It would essentially stop the expansion of the Ottoman Empire at sea. And what about the divine inspiration and the divine intervention and all that comes with this conversation? So I thought, nobody better to visit with than my very good friend and a huge fan of history, a huge lover of history, Father Bill Nicholas from the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, who joins us now on the line. How are you, Father Bill? Good to have you.
Doing good, Brad. Good to be here.
So the Battle of Lepanto in 1571, involving the Holy League and a number of forces. What do we need to know most about this battle?
Well, the main thing is it was the last major naval battle between the Ottoman Turks and the forces of Christian and specifically Catholic Europe. There would be other invasions afterwards. I think in the 1600s they would eventually lay siege to Vienna, penetrating that far into Europe, but on the sea, this was the last major confrontation that they had, and there was a real concerted effort by the Catholic forces, predominantly, to confront the Turkish fleet. The Turks thought it was a good time to expand their holdings on the Mediterranean further west, because in Europe, actually at the end of this month, on the 31st, is the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the Protestant Reformation, and by 1571, Europeans were divided between Catholics and Protestants, so the Ottomans thought it would be a good time to expand further west. And just a few months before, in preparation for it, they had laid siege to a town called Famagusta in Cyprus. It was a colony for the Republic of Venice. It was a Venetian colony. And the Ottomans had conquered Cyprus. The last outpost was Famagusta. And they executed a few of the Venetian leaders there as a result, and then began to sail west. And the Catholic League, which, as you mentioned, consisted of Austria, of the Kingdom of Spain, the Republic of Venice was included, the Knights of Malta were included, among others. And they set off from Messina, I believe, September 16th. But what they had, and then they eventually confronted them in what's called the Gulf of Patras, which is kind of like that bit of ocean sandwiched between the north and southern portions of the Greek peninsula. So it was kind of tight quarters in terms of the sea on which this the Gulf on which this battle took place. And the Europeans were a bit outnumbered. I don't know, vastly outnumbered, but the Turks had more ships and more galleys and more soldiers. But I guess, at least as some Catholic historians would say, by the grace of God, it was a victory for the Europeans, and it was a major victory, which actually the Catholic Church celebrates with a feast day on October 7th. Initially, the Christians had turned to the population, the Catholic population, to pray for a victory and specifically to ask for the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, who we also celebrate as the mother of God, as Jesus is God, and specifically to pray the Rosary, which is a devotion, a devotional prayer with Mary as a focus as we meditate on the life of Christ. And so they attributed the victory of the Battle of Lepanto to those prayers and her intercession. And so Pope St. Pius V gave her a new title of Our Lady of Victory. And that was the feast day on October 7th, but eventually it was changed to Our Lady of the Rosary, also acknowledging that the prayers of the Rosary that the people engaged in were also attributed, as you said, to a kind of divine intervention that they recognized as part of this victory. But it was a major naval battle, and it was the last we would see of a menace of the Ottoman Turks against the forces of the naval forces of Europe. And it was a combined alliance of the as it was called, the Holy League, but it was predominantly Catholic nations which went out to confront the Ottomans. They rather quickly rebuilt their navy, the Ottoman Empire, but since then they tended to avoid any confrontation with the navy of the Holy Alliance.
It's amazing because you consider these galleys that are out there and some smaller ships that are out there fighting. But at the heart of it, and I think it's one of the things that's not quite recognized, is you had almost 100,000 sailors and oarsmen. So you were still using oars. Talking about a throwback to the Roman Empire times, you still had guys running oars out there on these ships.
Oh yeah. Well, I suppose I'm not a seaman, but my guess would be that they hadn't perfected how they can maneuver with sails, but with oarsmen they can maneuver the ships a little better. But also, as part of the preparation and the blessing and the prayer as they were going into battle, was they freed the oarsmen who were galley slaves, their own oarsmen. And so everyone had an investment in this battle. The oarsmen wanted to be freed. They had to help them win.
Yeah.
And of course, they did. And it was celebrated all throughout, if not Christendom, Catholicism, as a great victory. And a lot of people, I know there are parishes that are named for Our Lady of Victory, but the actual feast day of Our Lady of Victory has been replaced by Our Lady of the Rosary, which basically celebrates the same thing. And a lot of Catholics aren't aware of that the Feast of the Rosary, Our Lady of the Rosary in October, commemorates a military victory. And so oftentimes I'll let people know, while we always pray for peace, when necessary, there's nothing wrong to pray for victory against our enemies. And we have examples of that throughout history. And this is definitely one of the major examples, because it is such a turning point in history. Things would have gone very, very differently for European history had the Holy League lost that battle.
It is to me very, very interesting to look at and to consider those elements of that battle, especially the direct intervention or the direct involvement of Pope Pius V, who's a saint, and as somebody, if I recall correctly, I believe his tomb that was visited by Pope Francis when he first was elevated to the papacy. He made a pilgrimage to Pope Pius V's tomb, which is an interesting sort of a side note, I think.
Well, he was a pope at a time of great reformation for the church, and that was a turning point in the history of the church, because the Catholic Church had to also deal with reformation and divisions within the Catholic Church itself. So there was a lot going on in Europe at the time religiously, which is why the Ottoman Empire was looking to move at this particular time. And so there, by the grace of God, went the Holy League, and they succeed in protecting them. And it's something to remember because, in many ways, we still have those tensions between the forces of the East, or at least the extremists, and threats to Western civilization. And not only that, but even within Western civilization, people who want to downplay the importance of our European history and the contributions that European history made to the world. We do see events such as this that come what may, Europe really went through quite a lot in its history and came out very strong culturally, scientifically, even religiously, to really have an impact around the world, especially for better or for worse, the age of colonialism. Certainly European culture affected the eventual founding of the United States, And, you know, today we observe Columbus Day. He was a product of Western culture.
Sure.
And his was a goal to find a new trade route, and he ran into an entire continent that was in the way. I don't think he realized what he ran into, what he discovered when he was here. Obviously not the first European to come to the New World, but the first one to really make note of it, and with a real effort of colonization and following upon that, which led to the establishment and the founding of the United States and the other nations of the Western Hemisphere.
Indeed, indeed, and so great.
Which might have been very different had the Holy League lost the Battle of Lepanto.
Great point. Absolutely, Spain is at the center of it in both cases. You have an Italian in Christopher Columbus, and you have an Italian in Amerigo Vespucci, who eventually we would have America named after. So,
mm-hmm.
Also noted. Also, I'm just noting. Press, no coverage of the anniversary of the Battle of Lepanto. No cover, an absolute blackout in that regard. And I'm glad we've done our part, Father Bill, to bring people into the historical conversation here. I appreciate
it. It's a great history. I wish more people would be interested in it. But
We're doing our part. When we get to the anniversary for the Gates of Vienna, we will do it as well, okay? We got a standing invite for you to come in and talk about that as well, because it's a significant date. Interesting, right? You have 1492 to 1571, about 80, 90 years in separation there. And then You've got between 1571 and 1670, right, about 100 years separated from the Gates of Vienna.
Right.
Mm.
And the Ottoman Empire was around until World War I.
Yeah, absolutely right. Great stuff from Father Bill Nicholas, Archdiocese of L.A. Thank you so much for coming by. We really appreciate it. All the best to you, sir.
Thanks again for having me on.
Thanks, Father Bill. That's Father Bill checking in, giving you a little historical checkup there. Kind of interesting stuff.
Stuff I didn't know.
Stuff you didn't know. This is what happens. You learn stuff on the Winterbull Show.
And stuff you will not get in...
you're not going to get that in those classes.
Any classroom,
that's
really.
For sure.
Yeah.
800-760-KFMB, 800-760-5362. It's the Brett Winterbull Show, AM 760, talking breaking.